Hi, and welcome to another one of our little podcasts. Today we're going to begin to wrap up our little series on this understanding the love of God, and especially looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm imagining that this lesson will be wrapped up in about three more. We're going to have Ascension Thursday on Thursday, so by Friday we'll have our last understanding of what it is to be loved or love God. Well, I think Friday is also the Feast of the Visitation, so I'm not sure if I'm going to do an episode on that and wrap this up on Saturday, which would probably be what I'll do now that I'm thinking of it. But going forward, we're looking at 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7, where it talks about the nature of love, about it being kind and all this jazz. And one of the last things it says is that love endures all things. Well, those who are called to love Jesus Christ, love him in such a way that we don't stop loving him because things get difficult. And that's kind of the big key that comes into the real understanding of what love is. And there's two ways that love overcomes difficulties, because there's two different types of difficulties that we experience in life. One kind of difficulty comes in just simply the way we are tempted by sin and fall into this temptation because we're weakened, because we don't have strong love for God. And how temptations really affect us. It's kind of like that whole idea of a person really having a struggle with a particular sin. And we all have this struggle with a particular sin. Your particular sin is not the same as my particular sin, as the same as anybody else. I mean, some people, their particular struggle is a struggle with depression. Others, it's a struggle with alcoholism, and others, it's a struggle with some type of sexual promiscuity, whether it's a lustful thing for members of the opposite sex, or whether it's with the same sex, or whatever it is. The struggle is very real. It's there. And it's one of those things that love calls us to endure. It doesn't give the excuse that you should do whatever it is that makes you happy, but it does tell you to really not stop loving God just because you have this strong urge or temptation, or because you feel like you've been abandoned by God to a bad situation. And this is something that comes into our lives, and it's the pains of life that afflicts our souls with poverty, sickness, dishonor, persecution, or the various temptations and desolations that make us really question whether or not God really is there and loves us. Because in the reality of knowing what real love is, when we truly enjoy the loving presence of God, then everything that we experience, whether it's something that we suffer, whether it's some kind of ignominy, mistreatment by others, like losing a job or not going on in a particular career choice that we would want, we accept the affliction, and we accept them because they allow us to show how we love God more than those things. It's that whole being able to take Isaac to the altar and sacrifice him, like the Akedah of Judaism, when Abraham was to offer Isaac on the altar, is all about. It's that test to see if we will truly give up what's truly dear to our hearts, because the one thing that's more dear to us than anything in creation is God himself, the Creator, because these things are what really allow us to burn with a deeper fire for God. So when we find ourselves thrust into temptations of losing God's grace and fearing the desolations that come from already having lost it, we actually continue to persevere and endure these things because we love God more than anything else, because it's that love that supplies us with the strength to endure these afflictions patiently and to continue on to our path of perfection and becoming saints, because we know that the trials only bring us closer to the one that we love. Looking specifically today at the idea of temptations and how We overcome temptations by loving God and loving Him with our whole heart, mind, soul, strength, body, and everything. We turn to looking at the love of Jesus as nothing that should be greater to us than anything that's in the world. Because whenever some kind of evil presses us to commit sin, we should be so desiring a closer union with God that we don't want to be separated from Him. So we accept the bitterness of this temptation, knowing that it's only pushing us closer to the one that we love. There's nothing that we get that tempts us that is ever from God Himself. It only comes from the devil or our own evil inclinations, because as James 1:13 puts out, God cannot be tempted by evil, and He does not tempt no one. Nevertheless, the Lord does permit us to be sorely tempted at times, because even Jesus was sorely tempted. We only need to read the Gospels one time, and we'll find out that there was this great temptation that happened in the desert when the devil came and approached Jesus after 40 days of fasting, and he tempted him three times. He tempted him with the idea of showing his power as God and making stones become bread. He showed him the world and everything in him if he would only worship him. And he also told him to make a great spectacle of himself by throwing himself off from the temple, because if he landed without having any kind of problem, it would show that he was God and the Son of God and allow people to really see him. But you see, it's one of those things to be tempted. It's another to realize that we have divine help not to fall. Because when we find ourselves truly in love with God, we can be so strongly tempted and on the edge of a cliff about to fall, and we really get to understand what Paul was talking about when he talked about the messenger from Satan, that thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians 12:7. That was sent to him to torment him and test to see whether or not he would abandon God. Because when God permits such temptations, like he did with Abraham, when it said he tested Abraham, or when he allowed Job to be tested by Satan in the book of Job, these here are showing us how to live more detached from the things of creation and desire ardently to see God in paradise, because it's something that really allows us to really break the snare, as Psalm 124 verse 7 tells us, to allow us to fly into God and to really find in Him that in our temptations, in our weakness, we can be strong. And it goes back to that whole thing that I keep thumping about Job, that the best line in Job, at least for me at this point in time, is found in chapter 2, verse 10, where he says, "Don't we have the right to accept the evil in the same attitude that we accept good things? Because they all work together for good. They all move us forward in a way toward God." This is something that God allows us to be tempted in order to make us richer in how we work for Him. This comes out of the book of Tobit, chapter 12, verse 13, where Tobias was told, "Because you were acceptable to God, you were proven by the necessary temptations that you experience." Because we shouldn't fear that we've fallen out of favor with God simply because we're tempted. It's instead that we hope all the more to be loved by God because we don't fall into our temptations. God is a jealous God, thinking of it from the standpoint of being in a relationship with somebody. You don't really prove your relationship with somebody and how you love them if you've never been tempted to leave them, or you're never tempted not to love them because of some ugliness in them. This is why we are called to show honor unto the most unworthy members of the body of Christ, because those are the ones that are more necessary, because you're never stronger than your weakest link. This is something that many seminarians experience when they're going through their formation, is that they realize how weak of a link they really are in the chain of Christianity, and how it's only by being formed into the proper image of Christ and Christ's Son that you get to this greater level. And this is something that many people miss. It's not the evil thoughts that make us lose our God, but it's our consent to them that becomes the evil that makes us lose our God. So let the suggestions of the devil be overwhelming in any way that it wants, or any impure fantasies flood your mind, because as long as you reject them, you will not leave any single stain of those on your soul, and you will not be anything less than what God can love. In fact, you become more stronger, a much more purer soul, and much more dearer to God because you refuse to be tempted and fall, and you overcome by the word of God and the testimony that comes from being a true person that stands by God with all things. Temptation is something that allows us to win the crown that truly shows us that we are fit for heaven, because it's something that really allows us to truly understand what Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, when the Apostle Paul said, God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide a way for you to be able to endure it. Now, many people take this to mean that if you go through a bad situation, like, say, people die in your life, or you end up into abject poverty, that it's not going to destroy you. That's not the point of the verse. The verse is just saying that when you're tempted to commit sin and leave God, God makes it possible for a way to be made out of that situation. Because sometimes he does allow you, like Joseph, to go into a pit, be sold into slavery, end up in Potiphar's house, then end up into a prison before you even come to the paradise level of being second on the throne in Pharaoh's house. Because God is more interested in you and your salvation than he is a situation in which you end up before you reach heaven. Because the person who resists temptation not only loses nothing by it, but profits by it. Because with temptation, you're also provided a way of escape. That is the grace of God, that when you are weak, you can say that you are strong. Because God allows the souls that are dearest to him to be tried by the most furious of temptations, because he knows that they will acquire more merit for them than anything blessing could ever do, because we become laxed if we get into the comfort. We all want to have lives of ease. We, in the name it and claim it form of Christianity, the focus is upon getting blessed rather than enduring temptation and remaining faithful. But you see, the thing is, God knows that stagnant water goes bad. The soul that stands idle without any temptations or combats is in danger of perishing from vain complicity about who they are and what they've accomplished. This is why the Israelites did not have every enemy removed from them after the time of Joshua, because the book of Judges says that there are going to be those left in the land of Canaan to try those to see whether or not the people of Israel truly do follow God. But he'll always make sure that you never lose your salvation, because he'll always have some way to allow you to embrace God's mercy and experience the stronger and closer growth that comes from enduring hardship for God. And this is why we all take up our cross every day and follow Jesus, because there's no reason for us to desire anything other than God and how he delivers us from temptation. This is why we pray in the Our Father, lead us not into temptation. It's not that we no longer experience temptation. It's just as it reveals to us that when God permits us to be attacked, we should not get alarmed or discouraged by them, but merely just place our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and seek his help, because he will surely not fail to give us the strength to resist. As St. Augustine was famous for saying, we need to abandon ourselves to God and don't fear, because God is the one that puts us in the battle, and he certainly will not leave us there to fall. We can know that
every temptation is something that can be vanquished. Those who become truly spiritual in the eyes of God do so by knowing that the only way that they do it is by turning to God with all humility and confidence and truly seeking Him to deliver us and make haste to help us, as we are told in Psalm 70, verse 1, which is also a psalm that is used in most of the offices that are read throughout the day in the church. Your first office, you get the Lord, open my lips and my mouth will proclaim your praise declaration, and then you go into what's known as the invitatory. Then in all the other ones that you do throughout the day, it's God, come to my assistance. Lord, make haste to help me. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, will be forever. Amen. Alleluia. And then you go into that office, singing the song and doing the psalms and all the other prayers that go with it. When we really understand it, we understand that we are allowed to overcome any assaults by all the demons of hell, because God is infinitely stronger than them. God already knows what we lack in ourselves as to our inability to resist temptation by the powers of hell. But it's because God has pledged Himself to help us in our time of need, all we have to do is ask for it. Because as James tells us, resist the devil, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. This is really the whole point. Matthew 11:28 tells us that we are to come unto Him when we are weary and carry heavy burdens, because He'll give us rest. He'll help us in fighting our temptations. As Psalm 50, verse 15 tells us, to call upon Him in a day of trouble so that He can deliver us and we can glorify Him. Isaiah 58:9 tells us that if we shall call, the Lord will answer. Because when we cry for help, He will say, here I am. In fact, the book of Sirach tells us in Sirach 2:10, is there anyone who has trusted in the Lord that has ever been disappointed? See, you can never be disappointed when you trust in God, because God does not allow any of us who turn to Him to fail, because He Himself puts Himself out there as our surety for moving forward and becoming what we ought. As the Book of Wisdom tells us in Wisdom 8:21, that we know that we are not able to contain our passions unless God gives us the gift, the grace to overcome them. That's why we go to the Lord and pray for His grace, that we can overcome temptations, because these are temptations that we strive against. We strive against all temptations, because they're all temptations that try to separate us from the faith of God. We should make every act of love for God and sorrow for our sins something that motivates us toward a closer union with Him, because when we truly slam the door in the face of sin, we truly shake off all the wickedness and by the shield of faith, put away the fiery darts that are shot at us by the evil spirits that are around us. Anything impure as a thought that tries to force its way into our mind, we can cry unto the Lord, O Lord, my helper, and realize that He will help you, because the most holy names of Jesus and Mary and all the other saints have special powers to repress any kind of temptation that lodges itself into your mind. As St. Francis de Sales once said, when children see a wolf, they run instantly to their father and mother in order to be safe and sound. In this we do immediately when we turn to Jesus or to Mary and call upon them by name. We do this because we realize that they are able to provide for us the necessity of finding our way to God in a deeper way. Mary, because she was the Ark of the Covenant that bore Jesus and is the Theotokos, the Mother of God, the Mother in the fact that she gave birth to His incarnate nature. And Jesus, just simply because He is the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to the Father, the one mediator. Now, why do I say Mary if there's only one mediator between God and men, as 1 Timothy tells us? Well, it's because
We are all called to be intercessors, to mediate the grace of God into the lives of others. That's why we pray one for another, and we don't shake off any of the prayers of the saints, angels, or even Mary, because we know that they are co-laborers with us and with Him to help us get to heaven. So we seek them as other members of the body of Christ, because as I pointed out earlier, the most disfigured member of the body is something that we need to give honor to. And in the case of being tempted by sin, we are the ones. We are the ones who the spiritual ones need to lift up and pray for. And this is really what it's all about. Because should temptation persist in bothering us, we need to become aware of what it is in order to realize that by humbly resigning ourselves to the will of God, and wishing to accept the thoughts as God does, we really get into an understanding of who it is. In fact, a good prayer to pray would be something like this. O Lord, I deserve to be troubled by these disgusting things as punishment for my offenses to you, but it's only through your help that I can be set free. When you really pray this prayer and understand it, you can truly overcome the temptations that bother you and continually realize it by calling upon the good Lord through the saints' intercession and through the saints of and the prayers of others, that you can overcome any temptation that torments you, allows you to renew yourself to God, and really find help in time of need. Because a temptation might be so strong as to really put you in danger of consenting to it. This is when you really should get into prayer, go before the Blessed Sacrament, and throw yourself before the crucifix or some other image that allows you to get past where you're at and really find prayer to weep and groan and plead for the help that you need. God is certainly ready to hear every one of those who pray to Him, and in this, not in our own efforts, we show that we receive the strength to resist from God and God alone. Sometimes God allows these weaknesses to overcome us because it leads us to a point of truly realizing how nothing we are and how we really need everything from Him, how we really need to learn to accept and work and cooperate with grace. Because when we truly begin to cooperate with grace, we learn how much our spiritual life is linked to how much we are united with God. And it sparks and inspires within us a great godly fear that truly is the beginning of wisdom. Because if you basically doubt any idea of how you fall into grievous sin, it is because you don't really understand that you are not lost if you truly love God, and if you truly can get into a point of standing your ground in love of God and really uniting with Him, that you'll never really understand the true freedom that is given to us by grace through the gospel itself. Because everything that we are supposed to be doing, if we wish to truly be saved, we must always pray and commend ourselves to our Redeemer, especially when we are tempted and want to give up, and truly realize that we need to seek grace. We need to seek it through all the saints that are available to us, and really allow ourselves to understand that graces are something that is ours if we truly latch on to God in love and truly in love with one another. Because if we can truly learn to overcome our temptations by realizing that in weakness we can say we're strong because His grace is greater than everything, then we will truly be a blessed people.